Well, good morning to all of you here. I hope you got some good rest last night. We certainly did. And I'll tell you, you know, I like to travel, but there's nothing like your own bed, right? So that's one of the bittersweet things. I just love this time we were able to spend with you the last 3 days. You've been so nice, so kind to us. And we just love you so much already. And we pray that God continues to bless you as you work hard here in this place. Now, that's the sweet part. The sweet part of doing a gospel meeting is you get to meet beautiful Christians, beautiful people of God. And I just love these young people up here. They just do such a great job singing. I am so proud of you. You do such a great job. But the sweet part, the bitter part is having to leave you. The sweet part is being able to be in my bed tonight, my own bed. I'm certainly looking forward to that. My wife is also. Let me just say a word to any guests that we may have here. I'm still learning who are the members and who are not the members, but if we have any guests here with us, we want you to know that you've chosen to be in a good place. You can be rest assured that you are among the best people in the whole world, the people of God, people who love God the Father, who love His Son, Jesus, and who believe that the Bible is what it claims to be, that is the inspired Word of God. We invite you to study with us this morning because I promise you in this lesson, we're all going to learn some things that are going to change our lives forever. And I certainly invite you all to please study with us as we will learn some things and consider some things from the Word of God. Now, this morning, we're going to answer a very important question. And tonight, it is critical that everyone who is here this morning be back here tonight, because this evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to answer not only an important question, but the most important question in all of the world. What is that question? Well, you'll be back here tonight, and you'll find out what that is. But now to the question that we're going to answer this morning. Has anyone ever asked you this question right here? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Young people, when you were at school, has anybody ever asked you this question? And for us adults, when we were out in our neighborhoods or at work, has anybody ever asked us this question? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? If so, what was your reaction? Did you get upset because you don't like for anyone to question you about your religion? Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, many Christians get upset when they are questioned about their religion. Some feel that they should never be questioned about that and regard questions about their faith to be personal and private. My friends, no one who believes in the Bible should ever take offense when their faith is questioned. What that person should do is use those questions as opportunities to teach someone the truth. Appreciate with me the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter Chapter 3, verse number 15, he says that we, the people of God, should always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. What the Apostle Peter is saying to us here is when people question our faith, we need to be ready to give them scriptural answers. But maybe you were not ready to give them an answer when asked this question, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Maybe you said, I'm a member because the majority of my family members are. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not be members of any church because of our family. We should be members because of Jesus Christ. Notice Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 37 in your New Testament, please. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 37, a scripture that many of us are familiar with. Matthew 10 and verse number 37, the Lord Jesus says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. What Jesus is saying to us here is he has to come first. If we are members of the Church of Christ just because we want to do what our parents do, then we're members for the wrong reason. Jesus says he must always come first. He must come before our parents. He must come before our children. He must come before any person. But maybe you did not respond like that when asked, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Maybe you said, I really don't know why I'm a member. In fact, I really don't know the difference between the Church of Christ or any other church. A response like that one is just sad. If we are members of the Church of Christ, we need to know why. We need to know what the Bible teaches about the Church of Christ. Remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. He says that we need to always be ready to give a defense. That means we need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, there are many people who do not know anything about the Church of Christ. That's a gospel truth. I know people who have been Christians for 30 years, 40 years, and 50 years who have said to me that before they became Christians, they didn't know anything about the Church of Christ. In fact, many of them say that for years, they didn't even know it existed. For some, when they did learn it existed, they still did not know what it was. For many of them, it was difficult to understand the concept. Some thought that the Church of Christ was no different than other churches. That is, religious organizations started by men. And I think that it is safe to say that many people today are in the same boat. Are you one of those people? Let's get some understanding about this important issue. And let's begin this morning by clearing up what I mean when I say Church of Christ. Because that's really the core of our dilemma here. We need to know what the term means, Church of Christ. You know, many people get offended when a Christian uses the term Church of Christ. Part of the reason why people get offended is because they don't understand the term. They're confused about what it means. That is why it is so important that we always define our terms. As teachers of the gospel, we have an obligation to explain to people the meaning of the terms that we use. For example, why do we call ourselves Christians? Is that scriptural terminology? Well, in Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, we find that the disciples were first called Christians. Where? In Antioch. So being a Christian is scriptural terminology. Being a Christian means that we are disciples. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Christian is a description of an individual. The disciples in the Bible wore the name Christian. We see that in Acts 11 and verse 26. We see a reference to the name Christian in Acts 26 and verse 28. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, Peter says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If we serve Jesus Christ, if we are disciples and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we should be Christians, nothing more, nothing less. I say that to prove the point that it is so important that we understand the language that we're using when discussing a topic. And let me give you another illustration to tell you what I mean, okay? Here's another illustration, something more practical. When I say these terms, these three terms right here, what do you think of first? Okay? In other words, what is the first thing that pops into your mind? What do you think I'm talking about when I say these three terms right here, okay? Here are the terms: tithe, crest, Mustang. Think about that for a moment. When I said tithe, did you think of the turgid? When I said crest, did you think of toothpaste? When I said Mustang, did you think of a Ford car? Ladies and gentlemen, even though you may think about those things, those are not the things I had in mind when I said those terms. When I said the tide, I didn't mean detergent. I meant the ocean. When I said crest, I didn't mean toothpaste. I meant the crest of a hill. And when I said Mustang, I didn't mean a Ford car. I meant a horse. You see, the repeated use of these words in advertising creates different pictures in our mind to where most of the time we don't even remember the original meanings of these words. And ladies and gentlemen, a very similar thing has taken place with the word church. The word is being used so many different ways in our culture today, so many different ways other than what the Bible teaches. So the word church is being used so many different ways that many people do not even know its original meaning. When people hear the word church today, there are many different things that come to their mind. And let me give you some examples of what I mean. When most people hear the word church today, they think of a building. They think of a place where religious services are held. The Bible never uses the word church to refer to a material building. We can search our Bible every minute of every day for the rest of our lives. We will never find one scripture that supports such a thing. Other people, when they hear the word church, they think of a denomination. The Bible knows nothing about denominations. That is churches that are started by men. Denominational churches had not even come into existence during the time of the early Christians. In fact, the Bible condemns the very concept upon which denominationalism is based. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that we should all be speaking the same thing. He says that believers in Christ should be united, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There should be no division among us. In verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 1, he asks a rhetorical question. That is Christ divided? And the obvious answer to that is no, Christ is not divided. His people should be united, should be perfected in unity. But other people, when they hear the word church, they may not think of a building, they might not think of a denomination, they may think of a man-made religious organization. And the Bible specifically speaks against man-made religions. God wants men to serve Him and not men. In Matthew 15, in verse number 9, Jesus condemning the practices of the Pharisees, He says that they were teaching the doctrines or the precepts of men. In other words, the Pharisees were guilty of putting their traditions, man-made traditions, above the commandments of God. That's not right. That's not what God wants from His people. In Acts chapter 5, in verse number 29, the Apostle Peter says that we ought to obey God rather than men. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible never uses the word church to refer to a man-made religion. It never uses the word church to refer to a denomination. It never uses the word church to refer to a material building, a place where religious services are held. And I say all this to point this out. As long as people continue to not understand the Bible definition of the word church, they will continue to be confused about the Church of Christ. They will continue to be confused like many Christians we know used to be. And like many people, millions of people are still in the world today. So as you can see, it is so important that we define our terms and agree on what the Bible teaches about those terms. God made it so that we can understand the use of the words that He has revealed to us. He made it so that we can understand what the Bible teaches about the Church of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's look at a few scriptures here. Because I hear so many people say all the time, you know, the Bible is just too hard to understand. It is impossible to understand what the Bible says. Notice Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 4. Paul says, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Notice it says, we can understand. We can understand the things that God has revealed to men like the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been what? Revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Turn over to chapter 5 now. Ephesians 5, chapter 5 and verse number 17. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Notice the apostle writes here, so then do not be foolish, but what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. God commands us to understand His will. This means that He wants us to understand the Bible, His Word. And God is not going to give us a commandment. He's not going to command us to do something that is impossible for us to do. If God commands us to understand His Word, then certainly we should be able and are capable of understanding it. Now, understanding Bible terms may involve us doing some word searches. That means we may need to look up words and how various words are used other places in the Bible. It certainly will mean that we have to study the context. That's part of Bible study 101. We have to study the context to get the right interpretation of the scripture. But if we do these things, we can understand Bible terms. We can understand the will of God. So what do I mean when I say Church of Christ? What do I mean when I say that? Now, do we understand that a church, when the Bible uses the word church, is not talking about any of these things.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I say Church of Christ, I don't mean a building, I don't mean a denomination, I don't mean a man-made religious organization, I mean the church,
which belongs to Jesus Christ. That is the way the Bible uses the term, and that is the way we are to use the term. The church which belongs to Jesus Christ is none of the things that I just mentioned to you. And the Bible, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, is a church that was built by Christ. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, Jesus speaking to the apostle Peter, he says, upon this rock, that is upon Peter's confession that he was the Son of God, he is the rock, upon himself, the Savior, the Son of God, he says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. When we study the words of Jesus here, we see that his church is not founded by men. It is not a religious group originated by men. In the Bible, the church that Jesus built, his church, it is made up of saved people. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 47, the Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church that was built by Jesus contains people who are saved. It only contains saved people. Jesus' church is founded by him. It is built by him. It is not a material building. In fact, the Bible, when the Bible uses the word church, it always is talking about people. It is never talking about a building. Let me give you two examples here. Two examples will suffice. Acts chapter 5, verse number 11. Acts chapter 5, verse number 11. Notice this example here of how the word church is used. Acts 5 and verse 11, it says, and great fear came over the whole what? The whole church. And over all who heard these things. Here we see how the Bible uses the word church is talking about people, because fear can't come upon a building. That's a material object. But fear can come upon people. And in this case, great fear came upon all those who were saved, the people of God. We then turn over to Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. We see that the word church being used the same way. It says Saul, talking about the Apostle Paul, was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. This is referring to what happened to Stephen in the previous chapter when he was stoned to death. It says, and on that day, a great persecution began against the what? The church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Once again, we see the word church being used to refer to people. A building can't be persecuted, but the people of God were persecuted, especially in the days of the early church. So we see here that the Bible uses the word church to talk about people, not a material building. But you know, it doesn't just stop there. The church that we can read about in the Bible, the church which belongs to Jesus Christ, was planned by God. This means that before we were ever made, before the world was even made, God had planned it out that his son was going to establish a church. Look over at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, Paul says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, though God has always used men to carry out his will, and when we look throughout the Bible, we see that God uses men to carry out his will, and sometimes the men don't even know it. For example, Nebuchadnezzar was used by God to punish the people of Judah in the Old Testament. Cyrus, the Persian king, was used by God to restore the Israelites back to their land after the captivity. The Apostle Paul was used by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Yes, we can see many examples where God used men to carry out his will, but men did not originate the church. The church was not started by men. That's what the scripture means when it says that the church was part of the eternal purpose of God. The church that belongs to Jesus Christ has Jesus as its head. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, the Bible says that God has put all things under subjection to his Son, and has made him the head of the body, which is the church. In Colossians 1 and verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. He says that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. The church that belongs to Jesus Christ has him as the head. That means that he is the supreme authority in the church, not the Pope. The Pope is not the head of the Lord's church.
No preacher is the head of the Lord's church. No man or woman is the head of the Lord's church. Jesus is the head. He is the only one who can make law in His church. And the Bible, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, was purchased by Christ's blood. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, Paul addressing the Ephesian elders before sailing off from Miletus, he says, for them to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased, which the Lord Jesus purchased with His own blood. You know, my wife and I, when we moved to Florida about a year ago, June the 15th would be a year, this June the 15th, Lord willing. When we moved here, we bought a house right away because I didn't want to go to any church and preach there if I couldn't see myself there at least 5 years. So when we moved to Florida, we said, let's go ahead and jump on this buyer's market, and we bought a house. And when we bought that house, when we purchased that house with our money, who does that house now belong to? Belongs to us. Because we purchased that with our money. The money the Lord blessed us to make, we purchased that house. And if Jesus purchased the church with His blood, who does that church belong to? It belongs to Him. Now you see why when I say Church of Christ, I'm talking about the church which belongs to Christ. The word of, when we say Church of Christ, the word of is a word that shows possession. It shows ownership. It is the same terminology that we see the Apostle Paul use in Romans 16 and verse 16 when he says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The church that we can read about in the Bible belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to men. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the easiest way I know how to put it. Now, there are many other things we need to know about the church of Christ. But it is impossible for us to understand these other things if we do not first understand the term Church of Christ. You know, I used to be confused about the term for many years. But now that I understand what the Bible teaches about the issue, I'm no longer confused. Now I understand that when I use the term, I'm only meaning what the Bible means. I'm only saying what the Bible is saying. Now, I cannot defend something that the Bible does not teach, nor will I condone something that the Bible does not teach. I will not defend terms that the Bible does not teach, nor will I believe anything that the Bible does not teach. Today, when people ask me about the Church of Christ, and it happens frequently, I know what I mean by the term. I know what I mean, but I cannot answer their question until I understand what they mean. Otherwise, as with the tide, they may be talking about the turgid. I'm talking about the ocean. As with Crest, they may be talking about toothpaste. I'm talking about the crest of a hill. As with a Mustang, they may be talking about a Ford car. I'm talking about a horse. Until we define, understand, and agree on our terms, we will not be able to have a reasonable and rational discussion about the issue. So why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Let me first tell you why I'm not a member of the Church of Christ, okay? Because that's the best way to answer this question. I am not a member of the Church of Christ because my parents were. You know, my mom is a member of the Lord's church, but my dad has never been a member of the Church of Christ. He's a member of a Baptist church. And even if both of my parents were members, that still would not be the right reason for me to be a member. I wish that everyone's parents were members of the Lord's church, but we live in a world where that is not the case. This is the real world. The truth is, God does not want any man to follow a religion just because their parents were in that religion. The Apostle Paul knew that it was wrong when he did it, and we need to know that it is wrong if we are doing it. Notice the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13 when he looks back on his life. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13, Paul says, "For you have heard of my former manner of life." Notice he's looking back in time of how he used to be. He says, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. And I was advancing Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." You know, when the Apostle Paul looked back at his life, it at least appears to me that he was a little ashamed of that, or a lot ashamed of that. He was ashamed when he looked back and and knew that he was following a religion just because of his ancestors, just because of his family. He used to persecute the church of God because he was zealous concerning the religion that his parents and his other family members were following. The Apostle Paul, when he thought back on his life, he knew that was wrong. He knew that his family was wrong, and he was wrong for following their lead. We should never want to be members of any church because of our families. We should never want to be a member of the Church of Christ because our parents are members of the Church of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. I'm also not a member of the Church of Christ because I like the preacher at the Church of Christ. You know, I wish more people liked preachers. But there are some people who like preachers way too much. There are some people who will obey the words of the preacher before they will obey the words of God. They will follow a man's teaching not because it is the truth of the gospel, but because it looks right and it sounds right. They will accept a man's teaching without even comparing it to what the Bible says. They will say things like, "Oh, brother, smooth talker, he speaks so well, he speaks so eloquent, I just love his preaching." Ladies and gentlemen, that is a dangerous approach to religion. So dangerous. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." What the Apostle Paul is saying to us here, that our faith should be in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It should not be in the wisdom and the words of men. Paul told the Corinthians, "When I came to preach to you, I didn't come with you with persuasive speech. I didn't want you to believe the message because of how eloquent I was." Your faith is supposed to be in the gospel, the message of the gospel, not in me or not in the way I present the message. We need to have the same attitude as Paul and understand that our faith should rest in God's word, never in a man. Never in the presentation of a man, but in the gospel. I am also not a member of the Church of Christ because the meeting place was nearby. You know, there are some people who choose their religion by neighborhood. This means that if the church, they go to a church because the building is close. It's close to where they live. Once again, this is a dangerous approach to religion. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it is wrong with living close to the place where you worship. But a man should be a member of a church not because of where the building is located, but because of what is being taught in the building. That is why a man needs to be a member of a church. The teachings of a church should be the number one thing that motivates us to be members there. Jesus wants us to be concerned with seeking and obeying his word, which is the truth. Notice what he says to those Jews who believed on him in John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse number 31. Some of my most favorite words that Jesus said in this book here. John chapter 8 and verse number 31. He says, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Notice that Jesus says that only his truth, truth that comes from heaven, the truth of the gospel, only that will save our souls. Only that will set us free from our sins. But where the building is located, convenient location will not save us. I am also not a member of the Church of Christ because I liked the building the people met in. You know, some people go to a church because they like the way the building looks inside and out. They like the way the building is decorated inside. They like the nice, large structure. They like the way that the walls are painted. They like the way the classrooms are decorated. They like the nice, large parking lot. Some go to a church because the building looks very expensive. Ladies and gentlemen, although some people may be inspired by decor, their spiritual lives would be much better if they were inspired by the truth. In James chapter 1 and verse number 21, notice what James says to us in James chapter 1 and verse number 21. James chapter 1 and verse number 21. He says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls."
Notice that James says to us that only the Word of God can save a man's soul. The way the building is decorated cannot. I am also not a member of the Church of Christ because they had recreational activities. You know, that is exactly what so many so-called religious people are looking for today. They want a church that's going to entertain them. They want a church that's going to socialize them, exercise them, and patronize them in every possible way. They want a church that's going to provide food in the fellowship hall. They want a church that's going to provide basketball and baseball for their children. And my friends, that's very sad. People should be focused on what Jesus wants rather than what they want. They should be focused on spiritual food rather than on the physical food. But we need to understand this is nothing new. Jesus had to go through the same thing in his day. There were many people who followed him just so they could get a free meal. Look at John chapter 6. We go to the book of John. John chapter 6 and verse number 26. Notice what Jesus says to some of the people who followed him for a time. He says in John 6 and verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Drop down to verse number 35 now. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." You know, what we see here is nothing's new, right? There are a lot of people in Jesus' day, thousands of people who followed him because they knew he had the ability to feed thousands of people with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. There were many people who only followed Jesus so they could get a free meal so their bellies could be filled. And Jesus told them, "You're following me for the wrong reason. You need to be following me not because of the physical food, because of the spiritual food that I offer you." It's so sad that so many people are like that today. Why do so many people want to make Jesus something that he never intended to be? Why do so many people want the church that he purchased with his own blood, to be something that God never wanted it to be, that he never planned for it to be? God intended for his church to be involved in the soul-saving business, not the recreational business. Instead of the church being a glorified YMCA, why not let the church be the church and do what God intended for it to do? That's the will of God. But it doesn't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. A sixth reason I'm not a member of the Church of Christ: I'm not a member because it had a lot of friendly people. You know, it is great for a church to have a lot of friendly people. This church right here has a lot of friendly people. And God wants every local church to have people with good attitudes. One of the benefits of a church with friendly people is it will impact the church's visitors in a positive way. But ladies and gentlemen, friendly people can be found in any local church. They can even be found in churches that clearly teach error. Friendly people are great to have, but they can't replace the truth of the gospel. Remember the words of Jesus in John 8 and verse 32. He says, "Follow my words, because my words will set you free from your sins. The truth will set you free." So why am I a member of the Church of Christ, understanding what the terms mean? I've told you why I'm not a member. And you're like, "Well, Sean, you only have about 5 minutes and we have to shut this down." Well, let me tell you something, my friends. I'm going to tell you why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and it only takes me 2 minutes to do so. That's all. And I'll tell you by first reading to you some passages from the book of Acts. Six scriptures from Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's start reading with verse number 36. I'm going to explain to you why I am a member of the Church of Christ by looking at six passages from the second chapter of Acts, starting with verse number 36. Peter, speaking to maybe a million Jews, maybe more, on the day of Pentecost in 33 A.D., he says in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.'" Drop down to verse number 41 now. It says, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls.
Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved.
I'm a member of the Church of Christ for the same reasons that the Christians in the Bibles were members of the Church of Christ. I did exactly what they did to become a member of the Church of Christ. I heard and believed the gospel, just like they did. Acts 2 and verse number 36, we just read that.
After I heard and believed the gospel, I realized that I was a sinner, and I wanted to know what to do to be saved, just like they did in Acts 2 and verse number 37. After wanting to know what to do to be saved, I then learned what I needed to do to be saved, just like they did in Acts 2 and verse 38. Where Peter told them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. After learning what to do to be saved, I then learned that the promise of salvation was for me and for those all far off. For me and all people of mankind, for me and future generations, God made it so that every man and woman can gain salvation. After I learned that, I then repented and I was baptized just like those people. The 3,000 were in Acts 2 and verse 41. I repented of my sins and I was immersed in water for the forgiveness of my sins. And after I did that, the Lord added me to His church. In Acts 2 and verse 47, He did the same thing to the Christians in the Bible. After they repented and were baptized, the Lord added the saved to His church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. It's as simple as that. Once I did that, I became a member of the Church of Christ. That is, I became a member of the church that belongs to Christ. The Lord made me a member of His church at the same time He saved me. I didn't have to join anything. I didn't have to stand before the committee or board of church directors. I did not have to get voted in by men. All I had to do was believe and obey the gospel. The Lord took care of the rest. You know, if men understood what Church of Christ meant, they would not be asking the question, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Instead, they would be asking themselves the question, why am I not a member of the Church of Christ? And I would like to pose that question to all of you this morning, my friends. Are you a member of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ? Are you a member of the church that He purchased with His own blood? If so, do you understand what it means to be a member of the Church of Christ? Do you understand how important you are to God? And you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to provide an opportunity for all those who want to be members of the Lord's church to do so. And I want you to know that in this lesson, you've been taught nothing more or nothing less than what the Bible teaches about the issue. We read from our Bibles this morning, right? And if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're being asked to do nothing more or nothing less than what the Bible teaches, than what people in the Bible did. So at this time, if there's someone who wants to obey the gospel, we'll baptize you before service starts. We won't wait. Because we're members of the Lord's church, and we do what the Bible says. So may God bless you, and I appreciate your attention. And let's get ready for an enjoyable worship service, because we are members of the Lord's church, the church that He purchased with His own blood. Thank you for your time.